Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, a world-building podcast. We throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you with sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's menu is all about armors. I'm a damn gearhead. Any game, I will respec. I will play around with transmog for hours. I will seek out every piece of cool loot or gear that I can find.
Armor's fun to look at
in fantasy. It's so much fun. I just love it.
It's, you know, it's practical purpose is pretty straightforward. We don't need to explain how protecting yourself when people have weapons is good. But it is also, there's like status symbols, yada, yada. But then in like the way that it manifests so often nowadays, it's just how badass do you look?
Right. It's vibes. It's a lot of vibes.
It's a lot of vibes. Sometimes it's not protective at all. Sometimes it's incredibly creepy.
Boob armor's weird.
Boob armor's so fucking stupid. In most fantasy games, the armor looks way cooler on female characters when it's not boob armor.
I agree.
Compared to the male characters.
Where
it's
agree.
Here, how about we give you pauldrons that are the size of like, you become like a Warhammer Marine.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, what if I was just wanted like a normal looking dude wearing armor? Like,
right.
No, it's going to be giant. Versus
because
like,
men are big and strong and tanks and
and then you put the same armor on a female character. And you're like, that looks totally how it should look.
Right. Everything be sleek. Everything be trimmed down now.
Yeah. But how do we get to like armor that's actually unique and has a feel that actually influences the world building,
or like is built into the lore, the setting?
And like Dune is the most obvious example I can think of, because it's one of the coolest things of armor ever, that you know, you like, you can't pierce it with a bullet, you have to get up close, it's like fast moving objects, it stops, but if it's slow then you can, so you have to get up close and then use like a dagger. Yep. Or something, and or if you're using a sword, you have to slow down at the last second to actually pierce the armor, you know. Yep. That is so fucking cool.
The still suits also, if you consider them a form of armor, are
the armor from the environment, but it's the same thing as like a hazmat suit in a way.
Yeah, but it's my point is that it is an example. It is something that is built into the lore. Like there is, it exists because for a very good reason. The way most armor does, like the way historically it has grown, has been in response to a need. Armor to protect against
the environment is a need. Yeah.
Is a need. We're probably going to need it in the not too distant future.
Oh my god!
Armor to protect against guns is different than swords, right?
Yeah, like because once guns came in order, it was like, okay, well, for a while there was like, well, there's no real protection, and then it was like, okay, we'll just put a steel plate on your chest,
right?
Because that's the most likely place to get shot.
Yeah,
you can't wear huge steel plates on all of yourself because then you're so easy to shoot with a gun. So like, you know, if you dressed up like a knight of medieval times, now you just get torn to shreds because you wouldn't be able to run fast enough. Like versus a modern soldier, like now Kevlar super light, they've got even more lightweight bulletproof material coming together of like, it's like spider silk, utilizing that, and you're like, okay, when we get that up, that's fucking insane. So it's like, yeah, the developing the needs, like another piece of armor I was thinking of just now was that Thanos's gauntlet is armor.
It's
armor that allows you to channel something that you otherwise couldn't necessarily control. So it's
great,
like,
great fucking example. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So like, I mean, if you're wearing armor that was, you know, that just like, if you put a gem in there, like, you know, like Tony Stark again, like similar thing of like, you need the armor to utilize the thing that will give you power, because otherwise it would overwhelm your body.
Very important point on your Thanos. One of my favorite scenes is in the beginning of Infinity War, when he shows up and he takes down Hulk and he's in his battle armor, and then he gets the second Infinity Stones and he takes off the rest of it. He's like, I have no more need for this shit.
Yeah.
This is nothing to me anymore. This is all that I need. I thought it was a great moment. There was a lot of storytelling, a lot of character in that moment.
Back when MCU was good.
Oh my God. Infinity War is fantastic.
Yes.
Anyway. It's, and this is the type of thing, but we're getting at these things, these armors. There's been armors in hero stories since the beginning of time. You know, Zeus had his Aegis, I think. Hercules had his winged sandals. Hermes had his winged sandals. Hercules had the pelt of the Nemean lion, which was impenetrable.
Yeah.
A lot of impenetrable armors.
Yep. That's, you know, that's always, there was, in vanilla WoW, there was a shield called the immovable object, and there was a mace called unstoppable force, and you could wield them at the same time, and it was very fun.
That's awesome. There's actually a Chinese myth about that, where a merchant was selling a spear or a sword that could cut through anything, and armor that could protect against anything, and
which wins,
right? And a customer came up and was like, so which one if you did together, what would happen? And the vendor had to be like, shit. And now it's a parable.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
The moral of the story, question people.
Yeah, exactly.
People will crack under pressure every time.
Caveat emptor.
All right, so let's move into the menus here.
What's your menu? I said it first.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I beat you. What's your menu today, Kyle?
That's a steep price. What's yours?
Curious use of the word steep. All hail the queen.
Okay. You go first.
You queued me up beautifully by mentioning Spider Silk. We'll get there in a second. We were also talking about Infinity War a couple seconds ago. Iron Man. We didn't mention Iron Man's nanite armor or the Black Panther's nanite suits, you know, which can all be condensed and held into smaller things. And then they come out and they can reshape them to look like whatever they want.
Yeah.
I thought that was a super cool idea. I think it's just fun. Nanotechnology is a great trope in sci-fi. But how do you make it fantasy? Bugs.
Oh, gosh.
This is a world where there are insects that are very, very small, not fully nanite, you know, microscopic size, but very, very small. And their shells are incredibly, incredibly powerful. The shell material is very, very strong. And so they're almost like, you know, you could call them bullet flies or something. You know, we have bullet ants in the real world. I don't care what you call them. Steel stingers. Ooh, steel stingers is kind of cool. But regardless of what you call them, they exist and they are bountiful. They are plentiful. You know, just you're sort of always around an ant in the real world somewhere. Similar vibe here. This armor is made up of these bugs, which exist in the real world. There is scale plate that, you know, artists have made using beetle wing or beetle shell. In this case, the bugs are real and you control them by in warrior society forming a bond, a sort of symbiotic relationship with the queen of a hive. And so either through surgical implantation, through some sort of psychic bond, I don't care how you want to bond with this queen, but you, the wielder of this armor, forms a bond with the queen of the hive. And so by communicating with the queen can then control the hive and form it around you as its wielder to make armor. And so it functions very similarly to nanite armor, not in the same way that, you know, Tony Stark's did where you can make energy guns and lasers, but you can reshape it according to thought. You can make weapons. You can maybe fly. You can maybe get them all to rub their little legs together and then create a massive sonic effect. You can, but they're incredibly strong, incredibly resilient. And so it functions like impermeable armor.
Okay. Two thoughts. One, I think it's cool. Two, have you heard of ribbon worms?
Ribbon worms?
Yeah.
No, what are ribbon worms?
They're fascinating. I think they fit this kind of well. They're a worm that basically shoots out like this goo, like tendrily ribbon thing that will spread. So like, look it up.
Okay.
But they seem to kind of fit the mold almost here, which would allow them to like basically spit out instantly this material that could like that sprawls across your body and could form into whatever.
You make that too.
Very similar to this.
Yeah, I love that. And I like that because I also want the idea you mentioning spider silk made me realize I'd just been focusing on the individual insects themselves.
And no, the byproduct.
I want to start using their byproduct too. Yep. So like the spider silk is, this is a razor wire that you can use to play with and maybe that's part of it.
Because like, you know, if it's spiders and it's all of a sudden, and you have a very small number of them, but they quickly sprawl across your body and spin a giant web around you that is, or like they spin that silk all over. You could do it with worms too, similarly. Yep. You know,
and just suddenly it forms. Yeah. I also love, I'm a big anime guy, you know, I grew up in the Power Rangers. I love a transformation scene. I love a like you thrust your hands out and then the armor just forms over you. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I love it.
So what happens if the queen or these insects die?
They're abundant. You can replace them.
You have to like go through. It'd be like if your armor breaks, you know, if your metal armor breaks, you have to go get it repaired.
Yep.
You have to spend the downtime without ending this armor because you have to go get a new like set of insects and a new queen. You have to reset, and it might take longer than repairing metal armor. But
the benefits vastly outweigh it. And maybe it's the type of thing where I'm assuming that the insects, the colonies, are plentiful. So wherever you are, there's a pretty good chance you might be able to replace as needed. A chance you might be able to replace as needed. But if you create them as a scarcity, if you make them a scarcer resource, then you can tell some more interesting stories, because you suddenly have to, maybe part of it is if your armor gets destroyed, you have to help the queen through the mourning process for the hive, like for their, you know, and try and work sort of like beekeepers will have to, they have to be very careful about moving queens to move the hive. There's a lot of, you have to pay very close attention to them actually, and sort of to the bug politics.
You're an insect keeper, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Bug politics was an interesting term you just threw out there.
Yeah.
Casually, like that was a fucking thing.
But interesting, but also you made another good point that I just realized, that what could be cool about this is that even if you're wearing this armor and you get knocked out, I think the armor could still function without you, like could still move your body for you, mm-hmm. because either the queen is still awake and has interest to protect you, or even if the queen is incapacitated, the hive will protect the queen, and the queen is bonded to you. Mm. So it will still, I like it, like someone being knocked out and the armor still like trying to, the bugs trying to move the body around to get it around to protect the queen.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's all. It was just a fun aside idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started immediately going to Spider-Man. They can help you. You can climb walls in this armor. You can make a coming of age ritual about you have to find your queen and bond with it.
Because you can also do, I think it's the malleableness of, you know, you could just send these out as also scouts and stuff. You could say, go under this door and tell me what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes mm-hmm. under the door, and then it can come back and you can kind of signal to you what's behind the door.
You could theoretically shed the armor and have it make a whole independent autonomous body next to you to fight alongside you, and so you could have two instead of one.
Interesting.
That would be a very advanced use case, but
yeah,
you could do it.
Yeah, you just as like a fake version of, you know, like mm-hmm. you could use it in different ways. I feel like there's limits on where you're like, or are there? I'm like, you know, could you use them to pick a lock? Could they form into a lock, you know, like into a key inside of that lock? Maybe not, you know, if they don't have the rigidity as like if they have to move into place, and then like do they have the rigidity to do it? I don't know.
Well, depend on the bug. If they're worms, they might be able to like squish and mold into it.
Yeah, it was interesting hand motions you made. Yeah,
I did some like full hand pinching over here.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Right in front of me and
right into your face.
I think the mic picked up a lot of the like ASMR noises. Welcome to our new ASMR podcast.
They can like squelch into there. Yeah.
Oh, don't use squelch. That's a bad word.
Squelch.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah. So all hail the queen. I think the queen shell, something like that. Queen scale. Ooh, queen scale could be fun.
That's cool. That works.
Queen scale. Yeah.
Or queen mail.
Queen mail. Yeah. Nah. Queen scale is better. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So yeah, queen scale.
Cool.
What you got, Kyle?
I think this is the idea that I come up with. I'm the most confident you're going to love. Ethan, have you heard of Vivianite? For those of you uninitiated with Vivianite, it is Ethan's favorite material in the world. Please listen to our episode on
magical substances.
Magical substances for a full debrief on how much he loves it.
It's the coolest thing in the world.
It is a material, or it's a mineral that develops in the corpses of like mollusks
and also inside coffins.
Yeah, so it I want to take that and run with it. This is a world where when you're dead, you naturally develop a layer of Vivianite on your skin.
God, it's so cool.
And a very thin layer that kind of permeates out from the heart. Because the heart is the center of this Vivianite growth. It's like based on something there. We'll hand wave that.
Yep.
So you slowly develop this this carapace, this outer shell of Vivianite. And everybody gets this. But the key is, before it reaches the brain, if you resurrect the person, they can walk around with this outer shell of a hard mineral that is light enough for them because it's built into their skin now.
Yeah.
So they are basically like a rock person, but they have the full function and full capacity of a human. But you need to resurrect them, which is incredibly hard to do, and very people can do it. They have to be willing to die, or not willing, but they just do die.
Yeah.
But you would only resurrect them if you know that they wouldn't try to kill you, because now you can't. It's harder to kill them. You got to go for the head.
Because the material's strong.
The material's so strong. But their head will be vulnerable. I'd say it's probably you'd see streaks of it kind of going up their neck. But that's before it gets to the jaw, they've got to stop.
Yeah, the jaw is the cutoff point.
Where they're like, okay, get them out of there. Because they want it to spread as far as possible to give you the most defense. So maybe the bottom of the legs aren't as protected, but you can just wear greaves for that. The core of them is going to be insulated by this.
And I imagine it's all every person, because crystalline growth in nature is not the same. Very famously, snowflakes are all individually unique. So I imagine every pattern
of
growth would be different. It's not a uniform.
So somebody might have a really highly developed layer of it on their right arm,
right,
which makes their arm much thicker and would kind of work better as a shield arm. And they switch and it's no longer their sword arm because it's just, that's the way it worked or whatever. Yeah, you could have these incongruent growth patterns.
Yeah,
but then the people who are being brought back.
Are they conscious, or are they just zombie control?
As long as their head, when their head is intact, they come back fully normal.
Okay,
they come back as a resurrected person in this world. And they might lose part of themselves, like a Jon Snow type of scenario, but they might also not. That is up to the individual. But the key of making sure the head is intact, so they are not zombies. They are not being mind controlled.
That's what I was asking.
So you would do it with special forces types, in an army of these are the elite of the elite, and we will kill them and have them in a controlled environment. They have loyalty and understand that we'll bring them back and yada yada, because it might be we voluntarily will die. We will have them stab us and let us die so we can come back like this. Or, it could
That's
be that,
very cool.
that, you know, the,
it's like a, like, it's like a prom- fantasy cyanide pill.
Yeah. But with a guarantee that you come back.
Right.
But then, if you're in the, if you're a promising soldier and you die in the field of battle, they might say, that guy was good enough, let's bring him back. And he seemed loyal to you. But it could also be that, a guild of assassins starts doing this, or mercenaries, or, whoever is doing this. They do it for the king in secret because they fear an assassination attempt. So the king is missing for a month because he was dead.
Yeah.
And he was brought back. However you want to play it out, but it's this... Because it's this thin layer, you can hide that you have this armor. You can under clothing. It's like mithril. You don't know that you're wearing it because it isn't as obvious. You can wear full plate on top of it if you want, but it'd be unnecessary. So they'll usually, if you're in a field of battle and you see somebody walking around with just a regular tunic, you either think that's a guy that's, easy pickings, or that's the most dangerous motherfucker out here,
right?
Because he's got Vivianite, and we don't know. That means he's the best.
Yeah,
and he's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
So you can kind of play around with that, and then you add a little bit more stakes of that reveal of somebody. You remember in the Red Wedding,
yeah,
wherever Catelyn Stark sees that Roose Bolton is wearing his armor underneath his
chain now.
Yeah, and she's like, "What the fuck? Oh shit, something's going down.
This is bad."
You can have that reveal. Somebody's sleeve comes up a little bit and you see they have Vivianite and you go, oh no, this guy's more powerful than I think he is.
And maybe it's not even that they see, because in the real world, Vivianite is this beautiful shade of tallow green.
Yeah.
It's stunningly beautiful, but this could maybe be just a little bit of pearlescent sheen on top of someone's skin, when you see a rainbow reflected on gasoline or on water. Yeah. Sometimes it could just be something more subtle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it could be. I the exact visual, I don't quite know. I think having it be that, in my mind, it is that green, but it's
I like the green too. I'm just thinking for the purpose of espionage.
Yeah. Well, then that's why I'm just it's just covered up,
right?
Because then, imagine there's a knightly order that all have Vivianite skin, and they all wear sheer white tunics because they want you to to subtly see that they have like Vivianite skin, where it's like we're covering ourselves, but we're making sure that, you know, like, you know, when you wear like a white shirt and your nipples come through and you're like, Jesus Christ, now people can see you. Like, I don't love this. It's that kind of thing.
That happens far too often.
Yeah. Or you're wearing like a dress shirt and you have a white undershirt and you're like, oh, people can see the dress shirt or the undershirt. That's annoying. It's kind of that, but it's intentional of we want you to see that we have Vivianite.
Would you get to a point where you are training people deliberately to kill them and turn them into soldiers? Like a crop?
No.
No.
Because I think the key is you want to make sure that it's loyal people.
So they have to prove their loyalty before
But also, it's expensive and difficult to bring them back. Sure. So and I would say there's not a guarantee that it happens. Like you might fail in the process, or like, cause they might mess up and it might spread to your head, in which case you have to, like, you're gone. You can't be brought back. It could be that it's just like the reagents to do this are really expensive. So they can only do it with a certain number of people. I don't know. I think you need to have those mechanical limitations that mean that you don't do it with everybody. And it probably is painful.
Yeah.
So people don't, you know, so you need to have someone who's loyal enough that if they go through that process, they will not want to kill you for putting them through it.
Right. I imagine it's also probably not a comfortable life living with crystalline growths all over you.
Probably not. No.
So you, again, doubling down on that loyalty.
Yeah. And I don't want it to be like, I wanted to be like, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable, but not wholly uncomfortable.
I don't want it
to be like you live in agony, but I think it's probably just like
itchy.
Not really itchy, because it's just, I mean, it's sort of even fathom what it'd be like to have your skin kind of have like a crystal mineral rock layer there, which you might just feel nothing. It might just kill the nerves.
Oh, that makes more sense.
So you might just be like, so it might just be that people don't want it because people don't love this, like the phantom sensation that comes with it. That is like, that requires a lot of adjustment.
In X-Men, in Marvel Comics, Iceman forms a layer of ice over his whole body. Mm-hmm. Whenever he walks around, you are constantly hearing cracking, the sound of ice cracking and breaking.
Yeah.
As he moves, because it's one solid layer of ice and then it just reforms. So if he bends his arm, it cracks and then refreezes and then cracks again as he extends his arm and refreezes again. So he's constantly making noise. How are you getting around that happening here?
Because it's not ice. It's not like, I mean,
it's not like a solid layer. Once it's broken, like once you've articulated your joints, it's not regrowing. It
doesn't regrow. No,
it moves with you.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm trying to make it where it's like it is basically fusing with your skin. So your skin and it are kind of one and the same. And it is a bit more of an imagination thing, and you kind of have to hand wave a little bit of that of like, how does that work biomechanically? But I'm not bothered with it. That it is. That layer exists, but it is not like your entire arm now is Vivianite. You still have human elements to it. Okay. You still have muscle. You still have some flesh, but it's either that the layer is beneath the flesh or on top of the flesh.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm kind of hand-waving some of those mechanics.
No, that's cool. And it was just, I always thought that was fascinating in X-Men. I was like, that's
it works
just
well.
Cool world building. So it I was like, oh, that could be a thing. I think
the key of this world building is it's a thing that people isn't obvious.
Because
it's that, like, the secretiveness of who has it and who doesn't. And what does that symbolize about who that person is in the world?
Anything, Vivian. I think I'm stuck, you know me. I'm trying to come up with a name for what you'd call this group, like the...
Well, it's not just one group. Or you mean the group of people who like the disparate people who do have...
Yeah, like what would you call someone like this?
The Greens.
Yeah, you could do the Greens. You could do the Greens. You could do...
The Returned.
You could call them Shards.
Yeah, but that's real Stormlighty.
Yeah, it is real Stormlighty.
Also, it sounds a little bit like they're the Sharts. They're the Groan? The Groan?
The Groan.
No, sounds weird. I don't know.
Spikes.
Lees. I don't know. You can name it whatever you want. Anyway, so that's an idea.
I love that. I think that's...
I right that was probably
one of your... you were super on board with that. You were completely tens across the board.
That was an Ethan idea.
Tens across the board, my guy. And it would fit in really well with the House of Nyx that they would... Maybe they this happens sometimes, and they are bringing these people, and so they're ones making up the.
Yeah,
I think that we said they were going to be guarded. The mausoleum would be guarded by paladins, and so maybe some of these soldiers make up the Plutonian Knights. And
this is the nature of this podcast is where it's all disconnected, and there is no particular order to any of it.
Yeah,
but there are some times where we are repeating ideas because some ideas you can keep going back to the same well for a similar thing, mm-hmm. and this is another example of. This is like the third episode that this has become a relevant topic for. So, explore that with your werewolf, then go back to old shit. All right, well, let's move on to some frozen lasagna here. Frozen spaghetti. Nope, still lasagna. Nope,
still lasagna.
Frozen spaghetti's bad.
Casseroles are reheat better. That's it.
True. Yeah.
That's just...
As someone who made lasagna last week, two weeks ago, it is so easy to just be like, just cut a piece and throw them in the oven.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Anyway, all right, so frozen lasagna. You have 1 minute. What do you got? Bing.
Soldiers wearing armor tend to kill a lot of people. Mm-hmm. This is a suit of armor. It can be one. It can be very rare, special. I don't know what it's made out of or why it does this yet. Hadn't gotten that far. When a soldier wearing it kills a living thing, the soul of that living thing, like Shang Tsung, is absorbed into the armor. And the user of that armor can now draw on the soul for either magical power or knowledge, information. But more importantly, it also provides a level of protection, because anytime you strike the armor, the soul reacts and pushes back, causing pain to the attacker, like mental pain, soul pain, psychic pain, to act as another layer of protection. So it's two forms of armor in one.
Okay.
Ding. Microwave that lasagna, Kyle.
No armor. This is a world where no armor is socially allowed. People can still wear it, but no one will fight them. If you wear armor, it is the greatest shame in this world, because all fights are supposed to happen in the nude.
Because you're weak enough that you feel you can't. Yeah.
It is trying to get back to a fight is a carnal event. It is feral. You are supposed to be as raw and in your animal form as possible.
I love that.
And you shouldn't be sullying material with a fight. That is for cleaning up after the fight. So all fights and all battle is supposed to happen in the stark nude.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if you wear armor, people run away from you. They say, no, we will not fight you.
It's that type of shame.
They run away shaming you.
And no, it would be like,
and because they're nude, they can move faster because you are weighed down by your armor, and they just taunt you, and everybody just fully shames you, and people back up.
It's the inverse of someone walking around naked in the real world.
Yeah. All right. What stuck for you, Ethan?
So what stuck for me, I think more than anything, I think the naked warriors, I like the lore and the societal element behind that. And I like the how do we fold in the Vivianite into the House of Nyx? That question I think I'm going to be playing with for a long time. What stuck for you? Besides everything, obviously, because that's what sucked for me.
Vivianite,
yeah.
Yeah, I like my entire idea. Full stop the whole way through.
Yeah.
I don't have any... Yeah, that's it.
No, it's again, it's so much fun to dig deep into an idea from before, build into it, add into it. It's really fun.
And you can do it separately. It doesn't have to be that you add in this or that or whatever, but these are pieces that you can mix and match. And that's kind of fun to say, here's an idea that we did before. What if we reskinned it? What if we took away what we did in magical substances, and instead it was, what if this was all it was?
Yeah.
It just the same core idea with a completely new skin, completely new results works. Especially taking something that is in the real world and then applying it however we want. Like your idea, like the ribbon worm is a great example of a strange creature that you could apply in other ways. And it's similar to what you're doing. And I was thinking about how do you make that work in other ways in a world building way? It's just respinning the same idea until you come up with a bunch of different iterations is always fun.
Yeah, no, it really is. Yep. It's so much fun.
That's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.